This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
You know what? That sounds pretty damn good, doesn't it?
It does. It does sound really good.
Jono and Steve-O. Hey, folks, August 24 on a Wednesday here. Glad to have you on board here, Steve-O.
Giddy up, man. It's week three.
Week three. It's flying.
Unbelievable. Preseason.
It's great to have that fly.
Oh, it's the most exciting week for preseason, isn't it?
And you always have the problem with, injuries and just getting bored around the damn house. And, it's flying because tomorrow's their third game against Seattle.
That's right. We're going to roll it out, see what we can do. Probably play a good half of football with our starters, minus Dez. Got a little concussion.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. How'd that go? I mean, is it something that happened in training camp? I hope he didn't slip on some soap or anything shit like that.
Where are you going with that one?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't want to go anywhere right now because you never know how the guy really got a concussion.
Get into protocol, go through. They'll stay fairly conservative this week. And I don't even know if he'll get any time in week four. But I think he's expected for opening week to come out and be full steam ahead, bud.
Now, you did see that Miami game, right?
Yeah, a little bit of it.
Well, you know what? I got some stuff I got to get off me.
Let's roll.
I got to get off me. And I loved how Romo played the first series. He looked like he was hanging in the pocket. He wasn't scared. He looked like he was back in his comfort zone.
He's a veteran. He's going to look like that. And that's what, you look forward to the Seattle game tomorrow and have him get a little bit more time. Maybe get a little bit more of that the defensive pressure from Seattle, see what he can do. But that's the big concern. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody's excited about Dak, and there's one reason, is because Romo is susceptible to injury.
Right.
So that's what you really got to, I'm excited about Tony, but all of a sudden, man, he's page two. It's all about Dak. And quite frankly, if we're going to have any success, Tony Romo's got to be behind center, all right, underneath center, and he's got to play 16 games this year.
No, you're definitely right about that. I definitely look at this game coming up against Seattle. Now let's see if he gets a couple more snaps in the game. This is a lot better defense against Miami. Now Seattle's going to have their front out there. Let's see how he handles that. But again, you're so right about this because the fact is everyone's talking about Prescott. But you know what, folks? Prescott is either going to come in with a Romo having a shitty game with four interceptions or something like that. They're going to bring him in. Or Romo's got to be laid out on the field. And neither one of those scenarios is what we need to see Prescott in the game about. I mean, that's what it's all about for Prescott.
And I'm telling you, I don't care if Tony Romo throws six interceptions. I don't see Garrett taking him out of any game unless it's way out of control and he wants to get some snaps for Prescott.
Now, Steve, you got to look at it this way, though. That was back then. Now you have a QB that can fill that role. I mean, we haven't had that.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Perfect passer rating first two games.
Right.
Now, I get it. They're throwing your vanilla defense at him. He hasn't seen much. But I'm telling you, he brings a different dimension to the quarterback position than the Cowboys have had in a long time.
When's the last time you've seen a quarterback roll out? Well, we had one that I couldn't stand. I'm glad I'd never seen him ever since then, but that was that Carter guy.
Yep.
He'd run out of the pocket, and you don't know what the hell is going to happen after that. But this guy, once he gets out of the pocket, well, first off, he can hang in the pocket, or he can roll out and pass out of the pocket. I mean, this guy does it all. I'm really excited. Now, do you have a little leash on Romo, though?
No.
Do you have a little? Come on. If you throw four interceptions, we've seen a meltdown like that.
Absolutely we have. But I'm telling you, he's your guy. You're going to dance with the one that brung you. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's the best quarterback statistically speaking, in Cowboy history, he has free reign. Now, he gets injured, you know, and something happens, he gets tweaked, it's late in a game and they're either down a bunch or up a bunch. I can see where Prescott gets time, but barring that, unless Romo's flat on the ground, he's not giving up that position. I don't expect Garrett to take him out.
Well, you got a good point. And that's probably how we're going to take this. I mean, we're not going to pull Romo out. We're not going to have quarterback controversy. And Jerry Jones is like that too. He'll stick with his guys no matter what.
He's loyal to his guys. And that's the exciting thing, is because I think you're going to get in a little bit, talk about the depth of the team. We know, based on today's NFL, that the quarterback position is the most important position on the field. So all of a sudden, I think as a Cowboy fan, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, holy crap, I got Prescott sitting there in the wings. And if I can get him 2 or 3 years where he can sit back there and be an understudy and learn the speed of the NFL and tweak his game to be a pro-style quarterback, then I think that we can move from the Romo era into a Prescott era and hopefully continue that success for the next decade. And that's where dynasties are made. And be quite honest, this isn't a team that we don't talk about dynasties with. This is an organization that you have to talk about a dynasty, because that's what they're shooting after. They're not shooting after, hey, we had a good season. We're the Minnesota Vikings. We're the Tennessee Titans. You know, we're talking about who's going to be the team of the decade, 2020s.
Do you ever hear the word rebuilding coming out of a Cowboys? Ever?
No.
I mean, it's never. It's unaccepted.
Completely unacceptable. So you have to get in there and be honest with you, it seems like we've been rebuilding. We got great parts, but they haven't been able to put that season together. And I'm looking for a little bit of magic, and I love the fact that we have that depth at our most important position. And if we can stay healthy, that's 90% of the battle.
Well, I did definitely see the old Romo to Witten, Romo to Dez, and that's all Jarrett wanted to see right there. That's all we needed to see was the Witten passes, the Dez. Okay, then pull the plug on that. That's all. That's it.
So the exciting part that comes out tomorrow is Elliott. Mm-hmm. Healthy, making his debut. I'm excited to see what this kid can do.
Right.
Okay, that's what – big offensive line, big holes, explosive runner. He can get to the corner too. So I'm really excited – to clue in to see how much he's going to run, and hopefully if we can keep him healthy. And he's a local boy for us. For all those people out there that don't know, we're in the St. Louis market, so you know I'm really cheering him on heavily too.
Well, you know what? Let's back this up a little bit too. Now, we're seeing Morris. Morris, to me, man, this guy, there won't be a hole. That hole's closed. There's nothing there anymore. Now, we seen Murray, he just run through that, try to get another 2-3 yards out of it. Now I'm seeing a back behind, like a Tony Dorsett or Emmitt Smith type, that looks at that and says, I can't go there. There's nothing there. He'll pop it. He'll pop it outside. He'll pop it to a different hole. And that's what I love about Morris. Me, myself, and I know I may be the minority of this, but I like to see Morris show the way for Elliott. That's the way that I would get this kid involved in it. I'm not just going to throw him out there. This is a diamond in the rough right now. And let Moore show him the way. Let him show if the zero hole's not open. You know what? No need to crash into the zero hole. You can pop out and get the three hole and let your speed take over from there. It's not all about getting to that hole. If there's no hole, don't do it.
Well, that's going to be where his instincts come in. And, hopefully he has that with getting, you know, being from Ohio State, he played a lot of big-time games. This being having a star on the helmet, I don't think is going to be too big for him. And we've seen that for, you know, countless players over the years that all of a sudden they get into the league and the game's too big for them. So I don't expect this out of this kid. I think he's a big-time player. He's played big-time games.
Okay, then what about Morris, what I just brought up with Morris? Do you let Morris break the kid in, or how do you get these two guys working together.
No, Morris is going to be your role player. You know, he's gonna find his position out there. And you also got McFadden sitting in there. And
See, someone's got to get dumped here, folks. I mean, I'm looking at Dunbar. I don't know how I can play Dunbar. I mean, honest to God, how could I get him involved in this? I've got back there, I got Elliott, I got McFadden, I got Morris. I got this Jackson sixth-round kid that he got a couple snaps. He got one snap. He went for 15 yards. They called it back on a penalty. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know why we got so many running backs back there.
We're hoarding talent on the offensive side. So, yeah, you're right. There's not enough footballs to go around, especially when you start talking about Dez has to have his. Witten's going to get his. Terrence Williams. And then I know we talked about the whole Bryce Butler and Cole Beasley and your thoughts on who like better there.
I brought that up to you that I just think that now I'm going to have a lot of people email me about this, but I'm not buying into Beasley anymore. If this Butler kid does what he did last game, I'm giving this kid a real look here. I'm really serious about him.
He's got
the body frame of a Dez. He runs like Terrence Williams. I mean, this guy, with these three guys out there, I think there's a lot of pattern here to be dangerous. Now, what Beasley brings is that New England type of Patriot offense that, you know, the short guy in the middle.
Underneath.
Yeah. But you know what, man? This Butler kid, I don't know how you're going to tell him you can't play.
I don't know. I agree with you 100%. The kid looks great. But, man, Beasley carried you the second half of last season, didn't he?
Man, let's
He doesn't
talk.
Drop the ball.
Well, hell, and he doesn't. I'll tell you what, there's been some key plays where he's dropped that ball.
There have been a lot of key plays that he made extra great catches, too. So, I like him. I like that.
Like him on that punt return? I don't know why he's back there. He scares the hell out of me every time on a punt return. I swear to you, Steve. I'm telling you, the guy just scares me like he's going to drop the ball.
Hey, you're a fan and I'm a fan, and I don't know if I've ever watched a ball go up in the air on a punt where I wasn't scared of a fumble.
Right.
Come on. I don't care who it is back there. You know, Devin Hester back there, I'm scared
there's
going to be something happen.
We had Harris back there, and you know what? When he touched it, man, exciting things happened, and I think we're going to see the same thing right now with that new kid we got. What's his name?
Lucky.
What's his name?
Lucky.
Is it Lucky?
Yeah.
He's number 13. Well, what the hell was his name?
Whitehead. Lucky Whitehead.
Yeah. Whitehead, man. He's exciting. He's exciting. When he touches that ball, something could happen. I don't get
absolutely.
That from Beasley.
No, yeah, absolutely. You know, Beasley's going to be as your – hey, don't fumble it. Don't screw up. Hey, understand when you're –
5 yards, get out of bounds.
Hey, understand when your heels hit the 10-yard line that you're going to run into a blocker and try to get it back onto the 20 with a touchback. That's who Beasley is. So, yeah, this ball goes up, you know, and that's an important part of the game, you know, that special teams like that and changing field position and taking a ball from the 10 and having a clean return and getting out to the 35.
Right.
You know, those are going to be the important ones.
There is nothing that breaks down a defense after you've stopped them. Then they're going to punt to you and you fumble that ball on the punt return and your defense has got to get back out there and you're tired as hell. I mean, that pisses you off more than anything.
Yeah, or even when you get into a situation, and Dallas has been notorious for this for the last couple of years, is the penalties. And all of a sudden, you get a decent return, and you're back first and, you know, 10 from your own 10.
I'm going to back this up. You just brought up penalties. The first three out of the four plays in the Dallas game against Miami were penalties.
Well,
the first three out of four. Okay.
They got the extra ref in there right now,
yeah,
right?
They
the
got extra that official. Extra ref, yeah.
Okay.
So now, you almost have another team out there. You got eight referees out there. You got 11 players on each side right there, too. So what are they doing this for?
Is equivalent to the IRS stating they're going to audit everybody's tax returns. That's what they're doing. There's eight officials out there, and they're watching everybody. You can call a penalty on every play.
Every play. You're damn right.
Every play. So, I don't like it. I really wish that the game was a little bit more opened up. And that's what I want to see. You know, you're going to get some holds and you're going to get some, you know, crackbacks and all, you know, you can go on and on and on. But man, those are just momentum killers. They're drive killers.
Right.
You get an illegal hands to the face.
But is this something that the NFL, Goodell, is wanting to do to make the game safer? I'm not going to put leather helmets on them, but I'll put 8-9 referees out there to make sure that they're playing the game properly.
Knowing Goodell, it's something so they can get an extra 2 commercials in per period, you know, per quarter. It's all about the money with him. So, I don't know. I just hope that when you're watching a game, whether you're there at the stadium or whether you're on TV watching it, you know, that the flow is there so you can enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. There was this one play. It pissed me off. I almost threw something at the TV again. At preseason, can you believe throwing something at the TV? But these Miami Dolphin guys, they surround our guy. They grab his face mask. They're pushing our guy. And our guy gets called for the unnecessary roughness face mask. And I'm like, what the hell are you guys seeing? Already in preseason, they're getting on my on my nerves there, Steve-O.
You know, that's the NFL of 2016 right now. And we've been dealing with it for the past, I don't know, 6-7 years, it seems
I'm
like.
I'm still not over that goddamn catch. That was a catch that Dez caught in Green Bay. Every time I see a goddamn Green Bay fan out there, I let them know about it, too. I swear to God, I let Dez caught that ball. They may not even know what the hell I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about, and you know what I'm talking about. Every goddamn Cowboy, I'm dropping this back to a week before then in that Detroit game where they didn't call a pass interference on that Cowboy linebacker running backwards. And I looked at my partner on this podcast, on a different podcast show, and I said, you watch, they're going to have a makeup call in this Green Bay game. And sure enough, there it was.
There it was. I mean, that was it cost us. It killed us. Killed the season.
That was a damn bloody catch, and I'll say it to my dying day. The guy came down. The guy came with the ball, and then he set the ball down. It was unbelievable.
And made a football move.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That was that football move.
You know, I just don't like that. Here, how about if we just change the rules and go back to 1950 where you had to get up from the pile with the football?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know?
No kidding.
If that's what we want to do. You know,
Let's not stop there, Steve. Oh, let's take the ball and give it to the referee, too. Huh? Why don't we do that as well?
You know what? I just don't get it. All of a sudden, you get a guy coming across, running the football, right? He gets hit. The ball comes out, but his knee hit 2 seconds before – 0.02 of a second before the ball came out,
right.
And all of a sudden, he's down by contact there. Dez catches the ball, makes a football move, reaches, extends the ball out.
Mm-hmm.
He's down,
right.
By any other definition.
He's down.
And you're calling it no catch.
Oh, we'd love to hear you guys on this one. We'd love to hear our fans
You don't
out there.
Want to hear them on this one because it'll be negative. It's going to be terrible, and you'll be in a pissed-off mood for the next week.
I always get pissed off when
You're
I'm talking
off
about
now?
It. Right now. That set me off again. It's unbelievable. Well, we do play Seattle tomorrow. What are we looking for here? What are you looking for? Are you looking for maybe Romo to stay the first quarter now or still – two series
no.
and out.
No. Romo, I think, has to play the first half.
The entire first half.
That's bold.
That's bold.
He has to. He's got 5 snaps, right?
Right.
In the first 2 games.
But against Seattle, though? I mean, come on.
Well, knowing Jerry, he's probably politicked up there with Mr. Allen to say, hey, let's take it easy. Let's not get anybody injured and let my quarterback get a little work in.
Well, actually, if I know Jerry, too, he's like, well, I don't really care anymore. I got a Prescott waiting on the helm just to take over. I'm already selling jerseys. Am I going crazy
You're
here?
You're going crazy. Yeah. A little bit crazy there. But, no, I want – hey, here's what I want. We know we don't have a Dez Bryant, okay? So I think we're going to dial back the offense a little bit and go vanilla with that. But I want to see Romo under center. Mm-hmm. I want to see Elliott with a decent yards per carry. Okay, I want to see him, make a couple of tacklers miss. I want to see him get hit and get up. I wouldn't mind seeing Romo get hit and get up. Get that blood flowing, okay? A little bit of contact isn't bad. I want to see Witten with a couple catches. Let's work the ball around and don't get injured, because these guys aren't playing in week four. This is their tune-up right now. Week three is their tune-up.
Well, I'm looking at the depth chart here. Pull it out in front of you here.
Got it.
I don't understand this. There's got to be a misprint here. Is Claiborne in front of Scandrick on the bottom of the page? What the hell is that all about?
That's your boy. Scandrick, isn't he coming back?
Yeah, Scandrick had a great game against Miami. The guy produced in, against Miami.
Oh, you're looking at it wrong.
Oh, please tell me I am.
He's number one. Look below Claiborne there.
Oh, there it is.
Whew. So he's his backup.
Whew. I'll tell you what, Claiborne couldn't cover a three-legged cow. That's how dangerous this guy is.
So he's going to be in your nickel situation for sure. And then on the right corner.
Right corner, what do we got there? We got a Carr. Is that Carr?
Carr's going to be on your left.
Okay, left, probably Church then. Isn't that Barry Church?
He's going to be a strong safety.
God damn!
You got the right. You got the right thing here.
No, that's free safety. Well, I don't know then. Who we got out there?
They'll be rolling them out tomorrow. Watch the game.
Yeah.
All right. Really, we'll get a little bit more defensive, and that's probably what we need to do.
Is it Wilcox? I think. Or? I thought it was.
Yeah, Wilcox, JJ.
Yeah, it may be him. I don't know, but. That Wilcox gets burnt too. Him and Carr, to me, man, these guys, and Claiborne, well, no, Claiborne, you don't even have to worry about. There'll be a 15-yard penalty because he'll hold them. I like to see the over and under on that, Steve-O. This year, we ought to have a drinking game every time he holds during a game. There's eight referees. If there's eight referees out there now, this guy may be called 3, 4, 5 times a game. Yeah,
what would you? Okay, so you're a linesman here. Let's. What's your line on that for the season? 16 games.
16 games.
Claiborne, give me a pen. We got to write this down.
There
this is going to be important.
There you go. I got a pen right here. And you're going to write it on the back of this.
I'll write it on the depth chart.
Yeah, there you go.
Claiborne holds.
I say
over,
probably
under.
One a game for sure. That's a conservative to me.
I was going to put the line at 15.
15?
15.
So I'm going to – let's make it 15.5, and I'm going to take the over.
All right.
15.5 is the holding penalty on Claiborne.
Maybe somebody can – maybe our fans can tweet at us or hit us up on email, tell us what they think, if over or under. Can we give – find out something to give away on that?
Why not? Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. You know what? I've got – I don't know if it's this event that we'll have for this contest, but I've got a great replica Super Bowl ring, man. I think I may just have to give this away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which Super Bowl?
I think it's 93 or 95.
Okay.
So which
either,
one?
Either 27 or 30?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a Troy Aikman ring.
Okay.
So it's got the stars. It's got the star with the diamonds on it.
Okay. So that would be Super Bowl 30.
30. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it is then.
And, the big one. That was the big one.
That was the big one.
Huge ring.
Yeah. I got that. I bought it. So you know what? We got to come up with a contest. We may have to give this out at the end of the year.
Okay.
Perfect.
I like that.
But, yeah, 15.5 sounds good. I'm going to take the over on that one. And Carr on the other side, he got burnt again on a touchdown. I mean, it's the same suspects every time, you know. You know every time. And check this out, too. Every time you see a quarterback roll out, what was that Miami quarterback's name? Tallahan?
Oh, yeah, Tannehill.
Tannehill. He rolls out, man. Every quarterback that ever rolls out against the Cowboys, you could expect something bad to happen to our defense. Nothing happens good on that notion, man.
It is amazing to watch these guys and compare them to, you know, a Josh Norman or a Revis out there, and just how these guys go about their play in, play out. How good they are. I mean, it's really an art form. And I know a lot of fans out there probably, how hard is it? You know, hey, keep your guy here. But I tell you what, you watch them side by side, what Revis does or Norman does, and watch what our guys do, and you see there's a huge skill set And that's why those guys make big dollars.
And, you know, the ones you just mentioned there, they'll give the 7-yard, 5-yard cushion just so the quarterback sees it to go downfield with it. But they close that gap in a hurry. Our guys don't close. They let them catch the ball, and then they try to tackle them.
So it has to be speed, quickness, you know. But I think a lot of that comes down to, and maybe I'm wrong, film study. You know, knowing what these guys are going to do. And that's what I think Revis and Norman do better than most out there, is they got that natural ability, but they watch a ton of film, and they anticipate, and they like to bait the quarterback.
Did you see any down linemen on defense that stood out? I see number 95, that Irving guy. He looked damn good. Our 99, he had a good hit, man. They closed that pocket in a hurry. They called it a spearing to the chest, and that looked like good old days football, man. You put it right, and that's how they used to coach us, man, in high school and peewee in college. That's what they used to tell me. That's how you do it.
They want that face mask up now.
Ah, son of a bitch. But that was a great hit, and our defensive line looks fast, and they're getting to the ball. Running back goes to the outside. I don't want to say anything yet, but I'm telling you right now, this looks like the 90s defense of how they swarm. I'm just talking about the swarming aspect.
That's a Marinelli-style defense right there, and that's what I like.
Right.
An offensive-minded guy, like, that's what I want to see, is my defense be fast and just get after it and be able to chase somebody down sideline to sideline.
Right. They're hitting the pursue angles the right – I mean, they're doing everything that they're supposed to do. Again, I question our linebacking. I don't know how long Sean Lee's going to be out there. This guy goes down in the third, fourth week. What are we going to do? We're very light on the linebacking crew right now.
Is that our next bet? What's the line on that? How many games?
God, I hope not. I don't even want to wish that one. That's like a death pool here.
No, it's not. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You got to look at it. It happens every year again. Yeah. You know, it's him and Romo.
Yeah. Yeah, we ought to do that. Who goes down first, Lee or Romo?
All right.
You know what? We're going to try to have Romo on the show. We don't want that. We don't want him hearing this.
No, we don't want him.
We love you, Romo. We love you. We want you out here. We want you out in the game. We don't ever want to see you get off the field. Prescott is just your backup. We're going to back that up there. Whew. Anyway, what's been going on with you since the big Miami game? Now we're in Seattle tomorrow. You kind of pumped up about everything?
Really pumped up. All right. Giddy up on game 3. We talked about that. But, you know, I'll give you a little topic here because I think me and you can have a little discussion on this one. Something hot out there in the NFL, the talk. We just came off the Olympics, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think Usain Bolt would do in the NFL as a receiver? And should there be a team out there that's willing to give him a tryout and sign him?
Didn't this try to go into play one year, like with Willie Gault or something like that?
Willie Gault, Bears, and James Jett. Was it Jett for the Raiders?
And the Cowboys, too. He played for the Cowboys as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
both decent careers.
I don't know about this guy, though, man. I don't know if he could take it. Well, you know what? Who the hell am I? If he's not even going to get hit, he'll just run by the DBs.
You jam him at the line, right? That's what you got to do.
And now don't get crazy with the jam. They'll call a flag on you there, too. They got an extra 2-3 guys with zebra outfits waiting for that type of crap, too.
So here's the only problem with Bolt. He's a back-end speed guy, right? He's slow out of the blocks. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that from a guy that probably runs a 14, 15-second 100, if I can even make it that far. All right? And I might be giving myself too much credit.
Me too, man. Me too. I'm right there with you.
So I don't know.
We just got out of a buffet for crying out loud.
Second best pizza buffet in the area.
Second
best. I'll take you to the first best weeks. But, no, so he's slow out of the blocks, right? And he usually gets about 40, 50 meters out, and that's Olympic speak there because we're in yards here. But 40, 50 meter out, nobody can catch him in the world. But who's throwing the damn ball 50 yards down the field to him?
Right, you got a good point.
All right?
Got a good point.
Because now you're 10 yards back. You're telling me you're throwing, 60 yards? Now, I get it. They can do it. But
you think he could catch?
Why, if he can. And you can get him in motion. Because I'm telling you what, if he's sitting there, as a wideout. I'm jamming him at the line, right hand, left hand, and that's all I'm doing. Because here's the deal. You know that it's going to take him, you know, 4 seconds to get to where he needs to get to. And by that time, you're hoping your defense is in there to, you know, the defensive line getting a little pressure on Romo or whatever quarterback's throwing to him.
Right.
But I got to jam him and just hope I got coverage over the top, got a little help up there.
You know who's a big-time Cowboy fan that I just thought of another perspective is LeBron James. That guy can get up, and he's a big-time Cowboy fan. He's at the Cowboy sideline games, watching Cowboy games and all that. If this guy can get up about 10 and a half, 12 feet in the air, I mean, just with his body and everything, if he could get up that high, I mean, these DBs are what, 5'9"?
Yeah, 5'9".
5'9", 5'10".
5'9", and 190, 195.
Right.
And you're talking about a guy who's, what's Bron, 6'8"?
6'8", 6'8".
And probably 260.
And he can body up on a 5'9", 5'10". I don't care who this 5'9", 5'10" is. I mean, LeBron goes in the centers and 7 foot, 270-pound centers. He takes it right to him. I guarantee that. Just throw the ball up. He'll catch it.
Absolutely.
Boom, there we go. We got another receiver. There we go. Boom.
But speaking of that, maybe that's the next Madden game as we throw Usain Bolt and LeBron James in there in the receiving core.
Yeah. You know what? We ought to have our fans just come up with different scenarios and that we could bring up on the air, too. Just talk about what matchups and so forth. We got 15.5 on Claiborne on the holding. How many times now that's down the line. We'll come up with that one. But, okay, we got those two right now.
So the question goes,
yeah,
back to the original one, does Bolt get an actual tryout? I mean, you got Tebow getting a tryout for 20 Major League Baseball teams, hadn't swung a bat in 12 years.
Right.
Or whatever it's been, 7 years.
It doesn't matter. Right? He hasn't swung a bat.
And he's got 20 teams coming to watch him hit.
Right.
Usain Bolt, arguably, well, he's the fastest man on earth ever.
Not only that, though, Steve-O, you're going to make a lot of money marketing this guy.
Oh.
I mean, to your point. It's not all just about playing for your team. Now you get to sell his jersey. Boom.
Hey, and now that Al Davis isn't around, who better to carry that torch but Jerry?
Yeah, yeah. You're high on Jerry, aren't
you? I'm high on Jerry. Jerry is – let me tell you what Jerry's done for the NFL, all right? Without Jerry Jones – I love the man because he's a business guy, right? Without Jerry Jones, everybody's watching games in the old NL East – baseball stadiums, the old cookie cutters, Bush, Three Rivers, Riverfront, veterans up there in Philly. That's what we're watching football games in those bullshit places like that. Now all of a sudden you got the Taj Mahal, all right, Jerry builds it. Then all of a sudden you get Robert Kraft, you get the Washington Redskins build some, Seattle. I mean.
Boy, hey there, Steve. Well, I just want to say he got rid of Tom Landry, for love of God. That was football for Dallas. That's what you got to contend with. Well, every time you hear Jerry Jones, that's the guy that got rid of Tom Landry.
Yeah, but all those fans are old now.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think we got to worry about that.
And you would think they would just ease up on Jerry after 3 Super Bowls. I don't know if that shit was going to work with Tom Landry anymore.
But here's the deal. At least Jerry, as an owner, is present. A lot of people would argue he's overly present. Okay, he meddles too much, and
he's
I get
GM.
It. He's a GM. He's a president. He's everything y'all want to be. But remember, I told you last time that I spent 17 years with the Rams on the sideline, and I think in 17 years, 10 games a year, right, with preseason, 10 home games a year, it's 170 games. I think I saw the owners of the Rams 6 times.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't care.
You know?
I mean,
I watched the owner of the 49ers walk around the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis and hand out 49er lapel pins to every 49er fan in the front row. Mm-hmm. Every year he did it.
Really?
Every year. I mean, And you can't get Kroenke to come into a game, stand on the sidelines, meet anybody.
Those were 49ers, you said?
Yeah, those were the 49ers.
49er fans. Well, he was just doing that because they don't know how to write over there. And he just he probably gave him a little scratch pad, too, to maybe write their names, learn to write their names in San Francisco. We still haven't forgiven you people out there in Frisco land. We don't like you guys.
You're still bitter about the catch.
The catch and that whole thing, it's always been the old-time football was in the 90s. It was us against them.
God, I love you.
That's it.
Hey,
that's it.
I love the fact that you're a fan. I got another story for you back in, remember in the height of it all? It was the 75th anniversary season, right?
Right.
No, it was the following year, 95.
95, that's 95. What I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, 95. I'm out watching the Cowboys in San Fran.
Right.
Boys to men, we're on the field, right? We got on-field passes. Boys to men is out there singing a national anthem. I mean, this was the height of Dallas versus San Fran, and that was a big ticket. I mean, there's probably 100 big telescoping cameras there on the sideline. We tried to stay on for the first quarter, got caught. We had a little 35-millimeter camera. We did not look like we belonged in. And got
they
escorted.
Got
yeah, they caught us. I mean, we stuck out like a sore thumb. But I'm telling you, you don't see that anymore. You don't see big acts like that going to games because you don't have those rivalries outside. Well, you had Peyton and Brady doing it for the last couple of years. But
we really know who that cat's ass there is. It's Brady. Brady runs the show there. But between Dallas and Frisco, man, I mean, there was some – it was like Ali and Frazier. When these two hooked up, it was a pay-per-view matchup. It's this O'Connor versus Diaz type of setting. I'm telling you right now, those two, it was a pay-per-view event. They could have single-handedly enhanced NFL, these two teams.
Without a doubt.
Because the Super Bowl, we get the Super Bowl against Buffalo, and we felt like we already played our Super Bowl.
Two weeks before then, we
played it. So... any case, man, that was the good old days back then.
Anyway, taking you back, the whole Jerry Jones thing. We got to get down to Dallas, bud, because they just built that star facility, their practice facility. And I'm telling
you,
I mean, this guy's a business guy, and I love him because, I mean, he's building a state-of-the-art facility, all right?
Right.
I think it's out in Frisco. I mean, it's
who?
Jerry.
In Frisco?
Yeah, Frisco. Well, it's Frisco, Texas. I'm sorry.
Yeah, please. Throw that in there.
So, state-of-the-art facility.
That's something throwing your flag in their own hometown. That's beautiful.
That'd be funny. But, I mean, it's unreal. And I'm telling you, what do you think Kroenke's going to do next? What do you think, Daniel Snyder's going to do? These guys are going to end up building some, trying to take advantage of the same thing Jerry's doing. I mean, he's the front runner, man. He's the trendsetter. He does those things, and he's built this NFL, one of the main players in it,
right,
from the ownership standpoint to say, hey, we're no longer going to take business as usual like the Chicago Bears family and the Buffalo Bills family and the Mora family up in New York. You know, hey, this is the new age of football, and we're not going to be millionaires. We're going to be billionaires. And he does that and gives back. You know, that's what I want to go. I want to go see a stadium.
And he gives back to his town. I mean, how many times do we see these cities that are under the gun, St. Louis, that they are forced to pay taxes for this team to build a new state? This guy here, I'm going to bring a quality team. They're going to love me, and then guess what? They're going to come to my stadium, and they're going to build the stadium for me, but not by taxes, by just love. That's how it's going to be. And you're still not seeing that out of the complete NFL. They'll build a stadium. But this guy, I think you're right. He's setting something modern-day type of – he's building cities.
Absolutely.
He's building cities where there are no cities.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, and the people down in Dallas area will know better than us because we're, 1,200 miles away from
that.
The
whole family is suave, I mean, they got their shit together. They know what they're doing. God bless the Jones family. I'll tell you what, man, I don't mind the other people taking a shot at us Cowboys and Jerry Jones, but I really get offended when a Cowboy says that. It doesn't make sense to me when a Cowboy fan says, well, he shouldn't be interfering. If he doesn't interfere there, douchebag, we cannot get a good team put out there because that's all he cares about.
That's
what's
it.
Out there. What is out there?
That's
I want to make the fans happy. I want another ring. That's his goal.
Right.
What more do you want?
You got to love the guy's passion for that. He's not doing it because he wants to own Arsenal soccer and Avalanche hockey and Nuggets
Cronky.
And he wants to do this. He's doing it because he loves the Dallas Cowboys. And you can't fault the man for that.
Nope, you're 100% right. I'll tell you what else, folks, right now at lineupmedia.fm, we've got some great shows. If you love this Dallas Cowboy podcast show, you'll love Bleacher Bums. Yeah, that's the show that with Jimbo. That's with me, too. And you guys got a Cardinal show, too,
yeah,
don't you?
Little St. Louis baseball Cardinal show.
And it's all about the Cardinals.
All about the Cardinals, much like this one. It's another love of mine. So we get to talk a little Cardinal baseball, and I am part of that community up here in the St. Louis market. So
beautiful.
A little bit closer to home, you get to hear a lot more about Cardinal baseball on sports talk radio around here than you do Cowboy football.
And that is on lineupmedia.fm. Just go to that site. You can find all these great shows. Another great show, another sports show is Not So Fast. I'll tell you what, my friends, if you want some great quality, good stuff out there, go to lineupmedia.fm and you'll find whatever show you're looking for.
They got an MMA show, which I'm sure they had a ton to talk about today, huh?
Oh, my God, dude. What a match that was last weekend. Was it last weekend?
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, something awesome. Something awesome there.
And to ask for a rematch. I mean, Connors wins the fight and he goes, hey, I'll give him another rematch. This is good. When he said that, man, dollars started flowing down.
Yeah, but he didn't want any more of him in the fifth round, that's for sure.
Oh, dude, it was unbelievable. You didn't think Diaz won that fight, though, do you?
No, he didn't win it.
No, I didn't think he won it either. And for Diaz to freak out about that, I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's.
He said he was running around, but hell, look at your face, Diaz.
He's
a bleeder. Looked like he was running around.
The Bayonne bleeder, right? Isn't that what
Jesus.
That guy used to be called?
Right. I don't know, but Connor landed everything on him. So Seattle, what are we looking for? We're looking for Romo to be out there first half. We're looking for, I tell you what, man, this one kid has gotten my attention too. This backup tight end, number 87, Swaim. I tell you what, this kid can play. Witten's on his back ends. This is the guy we need to keep around. We usually lose a lot of good tight ends.
We do.
We got to hold on to this kid.
Yeah, and Escobar's playing well.
You're right.
So, you know, you're 100% correct. I see them working him in a little bit more. And how many more years you think Witten has?
Oh, I'd say...
God, he's got a pocket full of cash.
I'd say he's kind of like a Gonzalez. I don't think you're going to get this guy off the field. He had a punctured lung, for love of God, and he goes, dress me up. I'm ready to go again.
He ran 15 yards without a helmet on.
15 yards without a helmet. Imagine what that Goodell was doing. No!
Hey,
get him off the field!
They changed the rule because of that.
Changed the rule because of that.
Yeah, as soon as the helmet comes off, play's dead.
Play's dead, huh?
So, he's an animal. I don't know. I kind of see him and Romo tied to the hip a little bit.
Does it get a little awkward in there? Because all you see is Dez, and you've seen other wideouts do the same thing. What's his name? Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
He comes up to Tony, goes, hey, I was wide open. You don't have to go to the middle to Witten every time now. I think when he gets in that mode, though, Romo gets in that mode with Witten, I think it keeps going on throughout the game.
Yeah, and you've seen that drop off a little bit over the past couple of years. His production, Witten's production's come down as Romo's looked to other parts of the field. But then Romo goes out, your backup comes in, and you can really see where Witten, his production goes down. Because him and Tony, I mean, they got a chemistry there, and you can't argue with that. I mean, they've been, for you fantasy players out there, that's a hell of a combo.
Right.
When Tony's in there, Witten's a hot commodity. When Romo's out, you know, right. Witten's very average.
No,
statistically
you're right.
speaking.
You're right, because that's his number – I say number two guy. Dez is obviously number one. You're looking downfield.
Right.
And then Witten becomes a little bit more open in the middle.
He's not scared to check down to him. Right.
Right.
And he's quick through the reads if he has to be.
Yeah. But we've seen it so many times with big-time wideouts saying, hey, throw the ball my way. So maybe this year he will spread it out a little bit more.
But can you argue with Dez saying that? I mean, he's elite. He gets that back shoulder. He can outrun guys. And if he's going up for it, he's coming down with it.
You're right.
He is elite. And that's why, as a Cowboy fan, you got to be excited about this year. I mean, I almost feel like the Cubs lately, you know?
No, you're right.
I mean,
right.
You get into this year, and you're looking at all these parts, and you're playing it out. And we'll do this probably after next week, right? We're going to go probably game by game. We're going to do one show just
right.
on that.
Exactly.
Where we break it down based off of what we've seen.
You got it.
And then we'll throw out another bet there.
Right.
But I think you get into that mode, and you're excited about, okay, well, if Elliott – is who Elliott is, mm-hmm. and Romo is Romo, and the offensive line does their job, and Witten's your safety net, and Dez can do what he does.
And right? Our offensive line, my God, man, this year I think they got to make a statement, and that third down and short, we're going to push them back. We're going to get 3-4 yards pushing these guys forward. I honest to God, that was what was bringing us down last year, where we couldn't get that third down and one. For some odd reason, you're the biggest goddamn offensive line, and you can't get that done. You know?
So you remember in the early 80s when, you know, Cowboys were still great, and the L.A. Rams had Dickerson running.
Yeah,
and
course.
All of a sudden, I mean, he would fall forward for 3-yard gain.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd get hit behind the line. And he would fall forward for a gain of 3 yards. It pissed me off so bad.
Was it the leg movement there?
I don't know.
Because Roger Craig was the same kind of guy with the – I mean, no comparison to Eric Dickerson by any means. But I'm saying these guys ran with these legs just going up. They look like harness horses.
I know. But, you know, Dorsett didn't seem like he did that.
No.
Emmett Smith didn't fall forward for 3 yards. For some reason, Dickerson just stuck out in my mind. I hated it. He would get hit for a 2-yard loss and gain 3 yards just by falling down. I couldn't do the math. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, if we can get something going like that where these guys are falling forward and getting the 2 or 3 yards that you need on third and short, you got to control that ball. We talked about it last week, the time of possession, stay healthy, control the ball. I'm a little nervous about the depth on defense. But if we can keep them rested on the sideline, keep Lee healthy without getting, you know, cuckoo birds flying around his helmet.
You got that right.
You know, all of a sudden, we might be able to make a decent run. And I think the East is ripe for picking for us. I'm not scared of anybody.
I've seen that, man, on preseason games. I've been watching. I watched New York and I watched Philadelphia. I know Philadelphia crushed Pittsburgh. But that Philadelphia team was horrible.
Bradford is terrible.
He's horrible.
I mean, that's the biggest robbery in all of NFL history, right?
East.
So, yeah. So, what's Cousins going to do out in Washington? You know, you like that?
No.
Come on.
They're horrible, too. I'm telling you right now.
That's another one.
They lost Morris to us. And Morris has got a lot of he brings a lot to the table here, my friend.
Absolutely. So I think the East is ripe for picking for us. So, and we'll go through. You got to handle your business at home.
Home. Take care of all home games.
Got to take care of those. You got to beat the teams that you should beat, and you got to be competitive in the other ones and keep building on it and get that momentum worked up.
I think last week I brought up to you what games do you think we're going to. I really honestly got to feel that we're going to win every game. That's the way that I got to think going out there, because I sit down and I look at the schedule. I'm like, I know we could win this. I know we could win that.
Yeah.
I know we could win this.
On paper.
On paper, they really look like games that we could take.
Right. But unfortunately, games aren't played on paper. They're played
in TV
sets. And
they get so pumped up when they play the Cowboys. They could be miserable 1 week, and next thing you know, they get – they can be miserable for 7 weeks in a row. As soon as that star comes to their town, I'm telling you right now, something comes they become the exorcist.
Yeah, absolutely.
They come after us, man.
Well, there's so many, and this is a tribute to the Cowboy Nation out there. I mean, there are Cowboy fans, and a lot of them, in every NFL city around America and every city around the country or around the world.
You're right.
I mean, they are long and deep with Cowboy fans. Cowboy Nation, strong.
You got it.
Out there in L.A. when they played out there, and probably, you know, 90,000 people out there in L.A. watching a game, and 30,000, 40,000 were Cowboy fans.
Yes, sir.
So it begs the question, why would Jerry want them out there when he's selling more jerseys than anybody out in that market?
You're right.
He's killing it. So.
Oh, God bless. God bless. And say, folks, if you want to get involved in this show, go to cowboypodcast.com, and you can leave us an email, give us a little feedback, tell us what you think about the show, and you know what, your opinions, we welcome it, man. We love stuff like that. And plus, we got an Amazon, click on your right-hand side, click on that Amazon big sticker right there on your right-hand side on our page, and shop away, buy some Cowboy stuff, getting close to Christmas, and I'm sure they got some great Cowboy stuff on there that you can find, and we get a little love back, Steve-O.
We need a little love back.
We do. You know,
so
we do.
Shop there.
We're under pressure.
Hey, we know these people are going to go to Amazon and shop.
Yeah.
Just do it through our website.
Through
That's
our
all
website.
Asking.
That's all we're saying here, folks. Go to cowboypodcast.com and shop away on Amazon. It'll be on your right-hand side. Well, Steve-O, tomorrow's our big game, and we'll come back next week and do it all over again, man.
Can't wait.
Can't wait, brother. All right, from Jono, Steve-O, take care, my friends. Till the next podcast show, from the next Cowboy show, we are out of here.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.